We'd like to get your opinion on aliens and the government. Oh, my God. So we just have a couple questions.
Which one, aliens or government?
Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune in to Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. This is Real Science Radio. I'm Fred Williams.
And I'm Doug McBurney. Today, Fred, let's see, what do we have on the list? We're talking aliens, the government, their UFO file dump, Missouri homeschooling, floating globes, burned fingers, and maybe the most popular kids booth at the entire conference out in Branson, Missouri.
Yeah, that's right. So we're going to have a lot of fun today. The government has recently released another batch of UFO or UAP files. UAP is the official term now, Doug.
Yes.
And that's Unidentified Anomalous Phenomena.
Anomalous.
So the first batch of these was released May 8th, and a second batch followed on May 22nd, with the government saying more releases are expected on a rolling basis. The official site says these are unresolved cases, meaning the government does not have enough information to make a definitive determination in those cases, Doug.
Yes, yes. And when people hear unresolved, unidentified, they immediately think, aliens!
Yeah, and of course, unidentified does not mean extraterrestrial. And, you know, Doug, this is exactly what we expected. If there was really something in these files, Biden would have released them. Any Democrat would have released them because they just want there to be aliens so badly. So... So some of these sensors, some of these unidentified objects could be like sensor artifacts, classified aircraft, drones. Man, we're learning a lot about drones these days.
Yeah.
Foreign surveillance. I don't know if you remember that China balloon, Doug.
Oh, of course.
I think that was while Biden was sleeping. That was going over.
Yeah.
Then other things like natural phenomena, optical effects, or other things we just don't have enough data to identify. You know, and some of these are interesting.
Yeah.
The new materials, they reportedly include documents, videos, military and civilian testimony, and older reports from multiple government agencies. But they, as we completely expected, as I mentioned, there's nothing earth-shattering there, Doug, and no pun intended, or maybe pun intended, I don't know. They certainly don't prove alien technology or extraterrestrial life at all.
No. Well, I haven't seen anything that read an interview with a retired rear admiral, obviously has a little too much time on his hands. He described he described what he called higher order non-human intelligence, obviously controlling these unresolved, what are they, anomalous phenomena. Anyway, but Fred, we wanted to test public opinion out there, and so we did out in Branson.
Yeah, we were at the Teach Them Diligently Homeschool Conference in Branson. And one day on our way to lunch, we decided to stop by Branson Landing. You know, it's one of those outdoor mall places that have lots of shopping and restaurants, etc. So we figured, hey, we'll ask some random people what they thought about aliens, UFOs, and these newly released government files.
Yeah, yeah. And believe it or not, a lot of shoppers who are shopping and lunching, and they're actually not very interested in talking about the government or aliens. They're just not interested in two guys with microphone who are interested in asking them about extraterrestrial life. So it was a bit of a rough gig.
It was a little bit. I was telling you at the time, man, normally like one out of three will talk to us when we've done this before. We were approaching like 0 out of 10
as
we're approaching the restaurant. And, you know, the problem was, I think, Doug, most of them just wanted to shop. And, you know, when couples are shopping, especially, as you know, when women are involved, we quickly learn the theological and scientific discussions about aliens are not always the top priority.
are you saying that interest in shopping outweighs interest in extraterrestrials?
Well, Doug, we were up against powerful forces, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, yeah. Handbags, lunch plans, the siren call of the outlet mall.
Yeah. So as we approached the restaurant, we were meeting my brother John there. We actually ran into these three guys sitting at a picnic table kind of thing. And that turned out to be really interesting. They were one of the guys was more than willing to engage with us. And I thought the guy was terrific.
So. Oh, yeah. He was awesome. He was awesome. Let's roll the tape.
All right.
With Real Science Radio, we were wondering if you wanted to, we'd like to get your opinion on aliens and the government. So we just have a couple questions.
Which one, aliens or government?
Well, it's kind of a mix of both. But we could start with, what do you think will be revealed in the recent release of the government's UFO files?
Didn't they release some of them?
They release, they say they release all of them, but...
I don't really know if I believe in UFOs or not. I don't really think I do. Because I'm a believer.
Oh. Okay. Now that leads to my next question. All right. So the next question, would you believe the government if they told you there was aliens? Wait a minute. Was that proper grammar?
Yeah.
If there were aliens.
Think this one through. If
the government came out with some pictures and they said, hey, turns out we've been lying the whole time, and there's aliens.
I guess if you showed me a picture and I could see life itself, then I may believe that it was not produced by AI. I might believe that. Yeah.
That's pretty good. All right, now.
I might believe it, but with this government, they tell you half true.
Okay.
Half true, but not all.
Now, since you're a believer.
Yes, sir.
How would the revelation of the alleged existence of aliens impact your faith in God as your creator and as your savior?
It wouldn't affect it at all. Not really, because I believe that God is infinite and there's no boundaries with him. And I believe if he created the universe, that could be others or other things outside of what I can see with my natural eye or what even a telescope could grasp. I just believe that, because God is infinite.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And what we see is not all of what he have created.
Okay. Well, now, so if you had an opportunity and there turns out there were aliens and we were both wrong, and it turns out that there was aliens, what would you want to tell them about?
Man, do not come down here. Stay where you are. Because we human beings, we can be some trouble.
All right, okay.
Man, don't even dare think about coming this way. That's where aliens, wherever you are, if you real, don't even think about coming and living here.
Well, what if the aliens were to want to come here?
Oh, man.
And they didn't want to hurt us, but they just wanted to figure out what was going on with us. What do you think would be the most important thing that you could relate to them about who human beings are and what's the most important thing in being a human being?
Oh, man. I tell you, man. I think the one most important thing about being a human being is that we learn how to trust one another and to love each other. I think that would be the main thing.
Would you have any clue on how they could figure out how to do that? Was there something you could recommend they look into? Or
the Bible, man.
What's that now?
The Bible. Look into the Bible. The Bible give you everything about what you need to know about loving and trusting and depending on one another. You know what I mean? I think you go to the Word of God. The Word of God would tell you all of that.
All right.
That's what I put my faith in.
That's pretty good. I'll take that. Okay. Well, all these other questions are pretty weak now. I think he pretty much answered everything. You can't really add on to the recommendation of the Bible. It's time to We got to go grab our Bibles. So thank you. God bless you guys. We appreciate it.
Now, where you from?
We're at the homeschool conference next door at the conference center.
What kind of conference?
It's called Teach Them Diligently, and it's for homeschool parents who are teaching their kids at home.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, so I'll ask you one more question. Do the government schools offer a fair treatment of creation and evolution?
Probably not.
Did you go to public school?
No, I graduated from a Catholic school.
Oh, okay.
St. Mary's High School in Holly Springs, Mississippi.
Let's see now. Let's say you graduated. Let's say it's before 1990. Let's assume that possibility.
In the school that I graduated from?
Yeah.
Would they be teaching about?
Well, let me ask you this. In the Catholic school you graduated, did they teach creation or did they teach evolution?
Creation.
They did teach creation in the Catholic school.
Not really. But I think they talked about God, you know what I mean? But to talk about the doctrine of creation, no, they didn't, they didn't really dwell on that too much because of the age that I'm in. You know what I mean? I'll be 70 years old in September. The Catholic school is much different.
So you graduated in the early 60s, mid 60s?
74.
Okay, 74. 74 you graduated. And so the Catholic Church hadn't really fully on bought into evolution at that point, right? They were still, teaching creation.
You were basically indoctrinated in the faith. We had religion class. That was a mandatory religion class and church every day, mass every day at that time, you know. But they did not really teach creation. They didn't teach creation.
Okay. I went to the government school. They didn't teach any creation.
No, they probably didn't.
All right. I got one more question for you. All right. If you were to die tonight and you woke up tomorrow morning at Heaven's Gate, would you expect to be let in?
Yes, I will, man. I'll say it right now.
How?
By the blood of Jesus.
Right. Are you still
Jesus being raised from the dead, man? I'm saved today. On the branch of land. If you take the air right now and come to the air, I'm saved today.
That's a pretty good answer. I was wrong that we could not add to his recommendation on the Bible. That's a really good answer.
I'm not waiting on the day.
Do you still consider yourself a Catholic?
No.
Okay.
He liked it there. No, I'm a pastor.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, my name is Pastor Morris Riddle. Oh. My church is in St. Louis, outskirts of St. Louis, Maryland Heights, Missouri. The name of my church is Harvest of Blessed Reconciliation Ministry. And we have like 47 or 48 people here today. And we're on our way to Sight and Sound to see the play David.
Oh, okay. All right. Awesome. Well, it's just by chance that we happen to come by. So we do a biblically based podcast, and we preach Christ starting with the foundation of Genesis, and we try to equip believers with answers to questions that they might hear from unbelievers about science.
Okay.
Because most unbelievers believe they know a lot about science that they don't actually know. And so we try to equip believers. And it sounds like you know the gospel.
Yeah, we know the gospel.
I like to hear that from a pastor. That's good.
Christ died, rose again, you know what I mean? And God raised him from the dead and raised him for our justification.
Amen.
No more man. It's the righteousness of Christ that lives in me. Isn't that exciting?
That's awesome, brother.
Man, this is a great salvation, man.
Amen.
It's full and it's free.
It's full and it's free.
Oh, God.
Amen. Man, I love it. I love it.
I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied with this salvation. Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Well, thank you, brother.
God bless you, man. Good meet you, Doug. Fred.
John.
John. Doug, Fred, and John. John.
Yeah. Amen. Awesome. Thank you.
I just talked about John the other day. When Peter was walking on, Jesus was walking on the shore. He told James and John to drop your nets and follow me.
That's right.
And they were with their father Zebedee.
Yep.
They dropped their nets and they followed Jesus.
Yeah,
and they left all of that behind.
Yeah.
And they followed the master. Isn't that awesome, man?
Amen.
Well, God bless you. I'll keep preaching.
Praise the Lord. We will, brother. God bless you.
All right. So, hey, by the way, that was, as I mentioned, my brother John at the end of that clip. Again, he had stopped to join us for lunch, and he caught that exchange with that awesome pastor from St. Louis. So, Doug, would a brief appearance on Real Science Radio be considered his 15 seconds of fame?
I think that qualifies. And in John's case, Fred, it was an extremely efficient fame event. He didn't even have to say anything. He just walked up, he got introduced, and suddenly the pastor's talking about the book of John and Jesus calling James and John to drop their nets and follow him. Most people have to work a lot harder for their 15 seconds of fame. John just showed up for lunch and got famous, and he got a sermon.
Yeah, that was pretty good timing.
Yeah, it really was. And really, Fred, one of the fun things about the whole exchange, it just started just as a random question about aliens and UFOs, and somehow it ended with scripture and the book of John and a pastor connecting it all back to following Christ. Just awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's Real Science Radio field work right there, huh?
That's right. Man on the street interviews, Branson lunch plans, and accidental Bible references. That's how we roll with Real Science round.
That's right. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. So, that pastor was awesome. I loved his energy.
Yeah. Just a thoughtful guy, friendly, and he wasn't afraid of the question. You know, he did what Christians ought to do, Fred. He listened, he thought about it, and he kept the bigger biblical worldview in mind.
Yeah, and he was there with a large group, he said, from St. Louis area, and they're going to see David Sight and Sound, the play David at Sight and Sound. And, you know, we've seen that, and it's fantastic the way they produce that thing. It's like watching a play in 3D.
You told me about it, Fred.
Yeah.
Sight and Sound, they don't mess around.
That's right.
Yeah, it's right.
So, yeah, they've got staging, the animals, with the stuff they do there, the music. It's really impressive. So if you go to Branson, it's actually my top recommendation. You know, my parents live there, and it's the one play I'll go to when they, you know, they do a new production. And from what I understand, they're going to do Daniel next year. They always have a really good Christmas program there. So if you happen to be in Branson over that period of time, highly recommend it.
Well, I'm sure it's better than your average Hollywood movie, you know, and the pastor, Fred, he handled the alien question really well, because for Christians, the question is not, could God have made other creatures elsewhere? I mean, God can create anything he likes in the universe. The question is, what has God revealed? And what does scripture actually teach about creation and mankind and sin, redemption, angels, devils? And of course, as the pastor mentioned, the singularity of Christ's incarnation.
Yeah. And, you know, the Bible is not some science fiction encyclopedia. And we, you know, we've always said it's not a science book per se, but whenever it touches on science, it's always 100% accurate. And it's the manual for life that gives us the framework we need.
Yeah. And that framework matters, because if the world says, maybe aliens seeded life here on Earth, or maybe aliens explain human religion, or maybe even like aliens are our creator, Christians need to recognize that, you know, talk like that, it's not neutral. These are attempts to move the origin question and you one step away from God. It's like a shell game. It's obvious that life is too complex to have come from non-life here on Earth. I think that case has been made fairly convincingly. So they're going to move to next. Maybe it came from non-life elsewhere. And we'll talk more about that, Fred, when we show our interview with a lady we met at the conference. So stay tuned for that, folks.
Yeah. So, yeah, they appeal to, like, panspermia and, you know, alien-seeded life here and all kinds of nonsense.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we do have a couple of more clips we wanted to share. But before we do that, Doug, I've got the interesting fact of the week. Are you ready?
Okay. All right. Hit me, Fred. I'm ready.
Index finger is ready here. Okay, here we go. In 1977, NASA launched the Voyager spacecraft carrying the famous Golden Record, which included sounds, music, greetings in many languages, and information about Earth. But the record also included a map showing Earth's location. What natural objects did the map use to point back to our solar system?
Oh, well, so I would assume they have to be landmarks out there in space. So am I going down the right path?
Yeah, you're kind of, you're going down the right path.
Okay, so I would assume the sun and then Polaris, Vega, and then maybe that's all you need is three. If you can't find it, maybe you're not going to make it here even if you try.
Well, you were in the right vicinity, but what they do is they use pulsars.
Oh.
So the map used pulsars because they act like extremely regular cosmic clocks. The idea was that their positions and pulse rates could help identify the location and time of origin of the spacecraft. So there you have it.
Okay, pulsars to give directions to the aliens so they could find us. So I guess based at least on the most recent government UFO dump, it hasn't worked. The directions haven't worked yet, as far as we know.
Yeah, so far, not good directions. Maybe it's one of those women at the Branson Mall. Directions, sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry to our female audience out there. That was
they're busy
too many
shopping
today.
They're shopping on Mars.
Okay, so before we get back to Branson, I wanted to mention two Real Science Radio teaching series books. We've mentioned the one earlier. Jesus Light Design is already available, and it's a full-color book that looks at light design scripture and the incredible evidence that the created world was not an accident.
Yes, it's beautiful, Fred. I had a chance to review it. I got the galleys before anyone else. It's gorgeous colors, beautiful illustrations, really, really great.
Yeah, and it covers a lot of stuff we've talked about over the years on Real Science Radio, so I think our listeners will really like that. And if you've ordered a copy of Walt Brown's book, which I believe is still slated for mid-June to late June, you'll get a free copy, a free hardcover copy of Jesus Light and Design.
Mm-hmm.
There's one more, and it's the list of not-so-old things.
Ah.
And I believe, Doug, that this may be the most important book that we ever release from the Real Science Radio teaching series. And really, it's a way to honor Bob because he started this list years ago. I remember when we first started doing Real Science Radio together, he had come up with the idea of list shows. And the first one we did was the list of not-so-old things. We probably did three or four, five shows over the years, you know, as we updated that list. And we'll do another one this summer now that we have this book releasing. Anyways, this book is almost available. You can pre-order it now, and it should be shipping by mid-June. I expect it should be ready by mid-June to start shipping. I think people really like this one. And it includes at the end, Doug, a couple of chapters on why Genesis is important. It uses statistics and graphs and showing you just what's happened to society when we lose that foundation of Genesis. But the heart of the book, though, is just all this list of evidences. It's well illustrated. You know, we've had a professional book formatter and copy editor go through the book. So I think everybody will really like it.
Yeah. It's carbon-14, geological features, biological information. But Fred, it's written for regular people with lots of great illustrations. And I love those charts, Fred, at the end that show what's happened to civilization since we abandoned the Bible and Genesis, starting, well, at least culminating in the reckless abandonment back there in the 1960s.
Yeah, it was the same time in 1963 when they took prayer and the Bible out of schools. They were also throwing in evolution into the textbooks at an alarming rate, and we show that in the book, just and why that happened. So there you go. There's a tease to get the book.
Absolutely.
And, you know, again, this is it's not just for scientists. It's for parents, pastors, students, homeschool families, and anyone who's been told that the science is settled and you must accept millions and billions of years, like I did for 30 years of my life, Doug, and I was really kind of angry with myself that I'd been brainwashed. I would have loved to have a book like this to just show me all this evidence that goes against what we're being told about the age of the Earth and the universe.
Well, that's pretty good, Fred, that you abandoned 30 years of, you know, a lot of people associate what they believe and what they profess. That becomes a part of your identity. And to be able to to be able to turn around and say, hey, I was wrong. I mean, that's pretty good, Fred. I think that's a God thing.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And that's not just a slogan. That's a God thing. In fact, the book, Fred, The List of Not So Old Things, the book is actually more interesting than that slogan.
That's right. And speaking of homeschool, Doug and I will be at the Colorado Homeschool Conference June 11th through the 13th at the Denver Marriott in the Denver Tech Center. So if you get a chance, come down and see us, see our booth. You'll get to see all the neat gadgets that we have. And I just encourage everybody, check us out there.
Yes, yes. And now that time frame reminds me, I want to go a little deeper into the ninth edition, Walt Brown's book. At last report, the book itself, the books, the cases, the skids of books are on a ship right now. And they're floating slowly toward the west coast of the United States. And it's quite possible by the time we get to the Colorado Conference that those books will be disembarking at the Los Angeles, I think either Los Angeles or Long Beach Pier. No, not pier. What am I thinking of, Fred? It's called a...
Port?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I meant, Fred, was a port. Not a pier. A pier is where you go fishing.
Yeah. Well, they probably got piers at that port.
A port is where you unload stuff. Now, you never know what's going to happen with the ICE, the customs enforcement, and the inspections. You kind of hope that you got the paperwork right, and the inspector looks in the thing, and he says, it's supposed to be books. It looks like books. He closes it, lets it through. Hopefully that's what happens, but you never know. There could be some sort of delay. We hope not, but that mid-June timeframe is looking very good for receiving the books here in America, after which they will begin to be distributed throughout North America and around the world.
All right, Doug. So now let's get back to the Branson Homeschool Conference, Teach Them Diligently. You know, we sure got a lot of mileage out of our physics demonstration using Euler's disk.
Ah, Euler's disk, right, which is, it's actually a kid magnet disguised as a scientific toy. It's a heavy disk, almost like a hockey puck, and it's on a little concave mirror, and the kids would come by and they spin the disk to see who could keep it spinning the longest, because it spins for a remarkably long time, and the kids ended up competing to see who could keep it spinning the longest before it made that super cool sound there before it flattened out. It was really cool. It starts as a kind of a physics demonstration. It ends up being a kids' tournament. It was great.
Yeah, and speaking of competition, I remember you sure got a kick out of my ploy to get popcorn for us. Remember that? I told one of the teenagers, hey, who's faster between you and your brother? Who can get us some popcorn the fastest? And they took off like a bolt, and we were kind of worried that they're going to make some people mad because they're running through the conference.
Oh, yeah.
And we had our popcorn, Doug, I think in like 7 seconds, and you were like, Fred, that was brilliant.
it was brilliant because there was two of them, so we got two bags of popcorn.
Yeah, and it was really delivered very fast.
Yeah, that was fun, man.
You know, we were told our conference was the favorite of all the kids.
So yeah, our booth. Cool. Oh, yeah, our booth definitely had the most kids, and that's what happens when you combine science and competition and lots of noise and, Fred, permission to touch things.
Yeah, and that's right. We had that floating globe display, and that thing went over really well. And I thought you came up with such a great teaching lesson on the fly. I mean, you started doing it. I'm like, wow, Doug, that's really good.
Oh, yeah, that was fun.
I want to play a brief clip of this.
All right.
You see the globe, right?
Yeah.
So this is a Bible verse being demonstrated physically, okay? So look at the top of the earth and tell me, what is it hanging on?
Nothing.
He says nothing. You said nothing. Does that remind you of a Bible verse, maybe?
It's nearly over.
Okay, wait a second. Are y'all homeschooled?
Yes.
Have you memorized the book of Job yet?
No.
Is that maybe next semester you memorize Job? I'm just kidding. You may not have to memorize Job. That might not be a requirement, but if you can do it, it'd be great. But in Job chapter 26, verse 7, Job wrote that God hung the earth on nothing. Yeah, now wait, it gets better. Because Job was a goat herder, in the Middle East 3,000 years ago. He didn't have a telescope, he didn't have a TV or a phone, and he never went to space and looked at the Earth. So how could it be that Job knew that the Earth was hanging on nothing? Because the whole rest of the world, they thought it was on the back of a turtle or something. But he knew it was hanging on nothing. How could he know that?
Because it's like all over a dark universe.
Now, he could look out in space and all that, but how could he know that the Earth was actually hanging on nothing?
Because God told him.
Because God told him. That's right. God not only told him, he had it written down in a book so that 3,000 years later we could read that book and we could know that God is true, because he knows things that nobody could have known 3,000 years ago. So we know that God is true. We know that the Bible is reliable. And so that's what we demonstrate with this here little earth hanging on nothing globe. Well, thank you for your participation and your lovely face paint. Quite delightful. Turn so the camera can see everything. There we go. We want the artists to get their full credit. There we go. All right. These are not permanent tattoos, ladies and gentlemen. We don't go for any of that stuff around here. All right. Thank you very much for coming by.
Sweet.
So since you're going to be on the podcast, you win a book, whichever book you want.
They were somewhat disappointed that they didn't win one of the toys, but they did. They did take a book.
Yeah, they did. It, you know, at their age, a wild book. Okay, whatever.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, the floating globe was a huge hit. Now, Doug, not every display we brought to the conference survived.
That little heat powered engine that you had. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, we had that at the Colorado Homeschool Conference last year, and basically you'd have to have a hot cup of coffee and you'd put the thing on top of it and this little engine would spin and run, kind of like a turbine on a train.
Yeah, yeah.
And, well, so me, being the genius that I am, I bought a coffee warmer.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't really think that went through. I thought the lowest temperature setting would work, but, and it did. The thing was
coffee warmer definitely worked.
Yeah.
It was functioning properly. I know that.
Now, how do you know that, Doug?
Well, because it burned my finger. I had like a third degree burn, Fred. In fact, if it hadn't healed up so quickly, I was going to ask you about where do I file a workman's comp?
Yeah.
At first I didn't think it was all that serious, but then it like turned into a blister. I was like, wow, that thing's really hot, Fred. We might not want to have that on the table with a bunch of kids.
Yeah. And then somehow that device got mysteriously damaged. We don't know exactly what happened there. We were trying to fix it, but we were theorizing maybe a kid grabbed it and burned his finger too, and he just threw it on the floor or something.
Yeah, right. Or maybe the UFOs. Maybe UFOs.
That's right.
Yeah, extraterrestrials did it. Anyway, no news in any of the government files on that one yet either, Fred. So,
yeah, the government has not yet declassified the Branson coffee warmer engine incident.
No, it remains unresolved.
Yep. Yeah, okay, yeah. So we got one last clip. And before I air that, Doug, I wanted to set this up. So we stayed with my parents who live in nearby Branson West off of Table Rock Lake. And, you know, my dad is 92 and my mom's 90. You got to meet my parents. So when we were setting the booth up early Thursday, my mom asked what time we would be getting in that first night. And if you remember, I'm checking the conference schedule to see when the exhibit hall closed. And I noticed just above that section of the brochure, my name was on this flyer. I'm like, what? What is it doing there? And I was scheduled to give a talk. I'm like, I had no idea. Yeah. And fortunately,
surprise!
Yeah, I'm like, oh my goodness. So fortunately, it is a talk I had given in the past. And then I vaguely remembered filling out a form where I listed some talks I could give, but I didn't expect to be selected. But I never got the memo, or, you know, the email ended up in spam or something. So, yeah. So the title of the talk was The Quantum Imprint, How Information Topples Evolution. So I quickly reviewed the slides. I made a few updates and I basically crammed for a test, you know, two hours before taking it. I was kind of used to that from my college days. So.
Okay. Well, and Fred, you were up against like three or four other talks that sounded pretty interesting. So there's a lot of competition.
Well, there was. And you and I joked that the only people would be there. You said you'd show up. So I knew I'd have one. And we thought there'd be maybe three other randos show up.
Yeah. I was prepared. I was going to be there for you, Fred, no matter what.
Well, you know, the good thing with the talk being ready, the the room actually ended up being packed. It was like, I don't know how many people you think, 50 people were in there. So
yeah, all wide awake.
Yeah, nobody fell asleep. That's amazing. No. Yeah. You know, one time I gave a talk, Doug, and I came home, I told my wife, man, half the people were sleeping during my talk. But she knew why, because I had just given it at an old folks' home. In fact, they willed person in asleep, and then they willed them out of sleep. So I didn't feel too bad about that one. So anyways, the reason I bring this up, the topic of information was a big part of that talk, and information isn't just stuff. It's not just chemistry. It's not just matter and energy. Information points to a mind. You can't have information without intelligence. And of course, we've learned that DNA is loaded with coded instructions. Biological systems require specific information. And that's one of the reasons why Darwinian evolution is simply dead on arrival.
Yeah, yeah. That's why they're getting ready to make the shift to the aliens, you know, because they talk about mutations and selection, but the real question is, where did the information come from? Where did the code come from? Where did the machinery to read the code come from? And where did the error correction system come from? Anyway, I sprung this topic on the lovely young lady that we met in the booth across from us at the convention, and I believe that is the clip you referred to.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and play that clip.
We're with Ellie at the Ethnos 360 booth here in fabulous Branson, Missouri at the Teach Them Diligently conference. And we've got a few questions for you, Miss Ellie.
Wonderful. All right.
The first is not controversial. It's just designed just so that everybody can kind of get to know each other. Do you think it's possible to rig an election?
I don't know.
In America.
In America, I think this is a question above my pay grade.
Okay, we'll accept that as an answer. Okay, now, next question. What do you think will be revealed in the recent release of the government UFO files?
Oh, man. The UFOs? I don't know if I know enough of
them. Have you read them and downloaded them and pored over them all night until 3 in the morning?
Oh, no. I've been sleeping during that time, or at least trying to sleep. So
there's some good advice for our folks in the audience who maybe have downloaded those and have been poring over those until all hours. Maybe take Miss Ellie's advice. Just get some sleep. Okay. Would you believe the government if they told you there were aliens?
No.
Okay, that she didn't hesitate much on that one. All right. What impact would compelling evidence that there were alien life forms in the universe have on your faith in God as your creator and Jesus Christ as your savior?
You're asking if
they convince you there were aliens, if they convince you there were aliens, how would that affect your understanding of God as your creator and Jesus Christ as your savior?
I would probably, my first thoughts would be, okay, can you tell me what is the difference between, are you describing actually aliens or are you just talking about heavenly creatures? Because God is the God, he made heavenly creatures. And so if it's reflecting that, that would strengthen my view of the creator. But if they're saying, hey, there's not, it would really lack my trust of them.
Oh, you wouldn't trust, you wouldn't lose trust in God, you'd lose trust in them.
Yes.
Okay, so here we go. What if there was absolute slam dunk proof that there were biological creatures on another planet that they discovered and that they were flying around the Earth in UFOs looking at us and thinking about visiting? How would that affect your understanding of God as your creator and Jesus Christ as your savior?
It would probably mean that he knows that they're floating around, and it would not affect my view of who he is in control of all things.
Okay. All right. There we go. Very unshakable here. Okay, so here's an interesting question that the actual host, Fred Williams, came up with. Where do you think human dignity comes from?
Human dignity comes from? My first right off the thought is those standards are designed by God. God is the one who decides when I think of dignity, that's doing the right thing. And so God is the one who defines what's good and what's not. And so dignity comes by doing the right things that God has established.
Okay. How much does dignity weigh?
Oh, in a physical weight?
In a physical, physically. How much does dignity weigh?
Oh, man, that's a great question. That could go in a lot of different directions because some people take living a life with dignity as a lot of emotional weight. So some people can feel it very heavily. But some people, it doesn't weigh even, it's lighter than a feather to some.
Okay. So is human dignity physical?
Wow, that one's a deep question. I would say it's not something physically that we can hold in the weight, but it comes out in characteristics. And so I would probably say it's like 25% yes, 75% no.
The reason we ask that question is because materialists insist that everything is based on matter and energy, things we can touch and taste and hold and weigh and analyze. But we all know that there are things that God gave us that are not physical in any way, even though we can feel the weight of other people's dignity being violated. So that's very good. Finally, this is our last question. Do government schools offer a fair treatment of creation and evolution? A fair treatment of both creation and evolution.
Well, I would probably, from my understanding, I would say no, simply because there's laws on what you can and can't talk about in those areas.
Did you ever go to public school?
No.
So that was why she had to say, from my understanding.
Yeah.
If your child can say that when they're 20, like Miss Ellie here, then you've done a good job. If they have to make assumptions about what's in the public schools, you've done your job, Mom and Dad.
So thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ellie.
Oh, and do we believe in aliens?
Do we believe in aliens?
Real Science Radio.
So, I will go out on a limb. I predict there will never be biological life discovered on another planet that lives on that other planet. They'll never be discovered flying around in UFOs thinking about visiting us or kidnapping us or running medical tests on us. But it's quite possible that beings, the extraterrestrial beings, will be revealed at some point in the future. That's what I think.
Okay.
All right.
I'll believe it when I see it.
All right, that's it for Ethnos 360 and Miss Ellie and Real Science Radio. Thanks for tuning in, folks.
All right, Doug. So I bet the audience and Ellie, if she's watching this show, wants to know, what do you mean by extraterrestrial beings will be revealed?
Oh, well, I'm talking about, I think it's 2 Thessalonians and some parts of the book of Revelation where it describes a strong delusion that God gives to those who don't want to know the truth. And I think it has to do with the Antichrist and fallen angels and things that will happen at that time.
Okay.
That's what I mean. Because I'm not talking about little green men from another planet who evolved on a rock somewhere and
exactly.
built a faster than light spacecraft. No, I'm talking about only what I see in the Bible. I'm concerned about the spiritual deception angle. I mean, the Bible already tells us there are non-human intelligences out there. I mean, angels exist, devils exist. There is a spiritual realm. And so when people report strange encounters and deceptive messages, beings that are glowing with light or entities claiming to bring mankind some kind of new revelation, you shouldn't be naive about all that. The spiritual realm is fraught with peril, and we need to be cautious.
Yeah, and it seems interesting that usually when you hear stories of alien abductions, it's always by someone on the left. They're the ones who somehow got abducted. I know that's anecdotal.
Well,
but anyways,
and they also smoke a lot of pot.
Yeah,
that's also anecdotal, but.
Yeah, true. I'm not sure if that's anecdotal.
Well, or they're drinking Jack Daniels or something.
Yeah. So, all right. So, Doug, that pretty much wraps up our show. It was a lot of fun out there in Branson. And again, we'd encourage our audience, if you're in the Denver area, if you're listening on the radio, we know you're in the Denver area, be sure to check us out at the Colorado Homeschool Conference this June 11th to 13th. That's a Thursday through a Saturday. And it's at the Denver Tech Center. You can easily find more information on the website. So,
yes. And if you have a UFO story or unresolved, unidentified, anomalous phenomena, Fred definitely wants to hear about that. So come by the booth and tell us all about it. We'd love to hear it.
All right. Okay, so for my co-host Doug McBurney, I'm Fred Williams of Real Science Radio. May God bless you.